We want to shine the light on those who are, you know, very talented.
Shine the light.
Because now we are in the time where you need to build an education, sport education.
We should be able to identify some of these talents and then we groom them.
Well, that was a great one.
Yeah. It's been enjoyable.
This is amazing.
I hope that it would inspire many people.
That's what we try to do with the podcast.
Hello and welcome to In The Game. In The Game is Qatar's first sports podcast we're very proud of. And we've got today a very, very special guest. And I'm going to let you, Akhil, please introduce yourself and tell us who you are.
So firstly, hi everyone. And my name is Akhilesh Reddy. So I'm the CMD of RPPL, which is my passion project, the motorsport company. And I'm also a director in MEIL, which is the infrastructure company, which is based out of India.
It's incredible what you're doing, because the parts of those companies, it's quite a big company.
Yeah. So we are doing good with the infrastructure. So we build all sorts of infrastructural requirements. You say the power plants, roads, dams, so whichever is
required. Oil rigs?
That's the other vertical which we do.
Okay. Just a few.
Yeah.
You're a massive entrepreneur, but we're on a sports podcast today, and it's the love of sports. Okay, when did this journey begin for you, and tell us more about that passion?
Well, the love for the motorsport has always been since the childhood, and you know how tough it is in India to pursue in order to get into the motorsports and make it as a career. So I had my fair trials in order to get into that, but never really succeeded. And in 2019, I have come across an opportunity to fit myself with the motorsports. And since then, I have started the journey in the motorsports, and then have come up with a couple of ideas how to bring the motorsport into the country. And then immediately the second thought came into my mind is to develop anything, irrespective of whether it's a sport or business or anything. The first primary thing that you require and you need is the ecosystem. So you have to build the ecosystem. So in order, the RPPL, we have planned, we have thought, and we have put our brains across, and we have made lots of plans, and then we created a standardized format in order to create the ecosystem for the motorsport.
And let's put this into perspective. Your main sport in India is cricket. Football is very small. Motorsports must be even smaller.
Yes, what you said is right. So this is what you said is right with the generation who are now 30 and above. But if you take the Gen Z kids who are 18 and below, and in fact, you can even say that the kids who are now 21, 22 years and below, their first preference is football. And the second preference is Formula One. The third preference comes to the cricket. So the transition is already being started in India. And the youngsters are much more interested towards the other sports rather than just being sticking to the cricket, which is a good thing.
Let's talk about your experiences when you talk about motorsport. I see this light come on in your eyes, and you said it was a very young age. What was it that made you, what was that sport, as in what was it that you were watching that you went, this is going to change my life forever?
So the first sport I watched was, of course, it was Formula One. And since a kid, I was always passionate about the cars and the speed especially. And the first race I saw was Formula One, because getting a chance to watch the Formula One itself is a big thing in India in those days, back in early 90s. And you can't even think about watching a Le Mans at that point of time. And now if you see the change now, you have lots of platforms to see the Formula One. And in fact, you have channels to see the Le Mans as well.
Yeah.
And the reason I said there has been transition in the young age kids is because I know a couple of my friends whose kids now, who are like 14 and 15 years old, they stay awake till 2 or 2:30 a.m. in the night to watch the U.S. Grand Prix. And they really don't, I mean, like, they really don't feel like watching cricket, even if it is happening in the daytime. So this shows clear transition amongst the youngsters.
And when you were, who was the highlights for you? Who was the drivers that you looked up and said, those are the ones?
Well, it was Schumacher. And then after Schumacher, of course, it's Lewis Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton, he started his, because he lives in Stevenage. I was telling you earlier, Stevenage is a close place to Biggleswade, where we were always cheering Lewis Hamilton on. It was it's huge for us, and he's done so well, but now he's getting beaten by Red Bull in Verstappen.
Well, see, end of the day, that's the sport. And that's why you call it as a sportsman spirit. You be the same and you act cool. And especially the way Lewis Hamilton handles the things, whether he wins or not, is what make me like him more. Because end of the day, it's a sport and you can't just win all the time. But yeah, you always give your 100% without losing the faith on it. So that's what makes you a perfect sportsman.
In saying this love for the sport, and people are looking at it and saying, come on, what are you? You've got this love for this motorsport. When was the realization that you were very successful, and I say very successful in business, to then look up and say, I'm going to take this a little bit further. I'm going to create a legacy where I'm going to be able to kind of, I'm going to be making a real difference for this in my country.
Well, this thought has come up because when you see the Formula One grid, I mean, like, there has been one or two drivers in the past from India. But as of now, if you see the Formula One grid, it is like almost, it's like there has never been a driver from India and also from the Middle East. And I personally feel that the current situation towards the motorsport, it's the same in Middle East and in India. So that's why I initially started in India with the name of Indian Racing League. And then I changed the format, and then now it is called Indian Racing Festive. This is our second season. And we did, from the RPPL, we did the India's first street circuit last year, November. And after that, immediately in this year, Feb, the Formula E World Championship happened on the same street circuit.
Oh, wow.
Which says that the world is looking up. And this year, in December, we are doing a street circuit night race in India. So that's going to be India's first night race on a street circuit. And also it's going to be the longest street circuit of India, which is 3.8 kilometers.
I'm trying to think about trying to set this up in my country, in your country, in India. The love of cricket is huge. And I'm going to go back to that. And all of a sudden you're a successful businessman and you're saying, I'm going to bring this motor racing to India. How many people told you that you were crazy and you just wouldn't be able to do that?
Well, to be frank with you, starting my family members, friends and everybody still say that I'm crazy. and especially when I told them that, I feel that it's the same with the Middle East as well, because I sincerely feel that India and Middle East got a lot of potential and a lot of talented youngsters and a lot of energy towards the motorsport. But the only thing that has been missing is the platform. And if we create the platform, there are lots of youngsters who definitely wants to get into the motorsport. And along with that, when I say motorsport, it's not just about the drivers, but it is also about developing the engineers, developing the mechanics as well, by getting them trained through the experienced and professional people who have worked in various platforms in the motorsport, say starting from the Formula One till the Euro Cup or the French F4 or whatever it is, whoever is professionally experienced in the racing side. So from my side, for my bit, I'm trying to get the youngsters, like the automobile engineers in the India. So I'm trying to get them trained by the professionals for free of cost as a scholarship for 5 weekends. And in the same way, I'm trying to get the mechanics also trained by the MP Motorsports mechanics, who are from Netherlands. And MP Motorsports has been the 2022 Formula 2 champions. And this year, they have been the Formula 3 international champions. So slowly, I'm trying to create the ecosystem. And I want to do the same with the Middle East as well. Because you find the drivers from across the world in the Formula 1 grid. Why not a driver from India and Middle East? When we have so much potential and so much energy in the youngsters over here. So what is that lacking? It's just the platform. If we create the platform, we have a lot of talent over here. And eventually, which is going to also open the doors for lots of employment. You say in the engineering side and the mechanical side.
I was just going to say that myself. And then you've got it's a whole ecosystem. Right?
Yes.
Because I was thinking about how that transpires into what you need, because from a business perspective, all the engineers, all the mechanics, all those people that are involved in this massive sport, there somebody has to pay for this.
Exactly.
Somebody has to put their hand into some very deep pockets and come out with that. It's going to be a whole industry that is going to thrive in India, because I could see this without a shadow of it. If it catches on, which it is already, it's going to go all over India. And with the population of India, it's going to be one of the biggest sports.
No, I mean, like, to give you a small example, the last year in 2022, when I did the first street circuit in Hyderabad, so everybody was like, okay, so you are a bigger entrepreneur, you have a big company over there, so that's the reason you got the permissions and all from the government. But they said, who's going to watch this race? Who would watch this? Firstly, and secondly, they said, is this going to sustain? Who's going to support you in the future? But for my surprise, the first year's viewership was, I mean, like, excluding the Insta live feed and YouTube live feed, only on the Star Sports, which was telecasted on Star Sports 2 last year in India. So the viewership was 3.6 million. And for my surprise, the other thing was, so last year I finished the Hyderabad race. And this year, the circuit where I'm doing the night race, that state government is the India's first straight government who's investing money on a street circuit for a motorsport.
Unbelievable.
And they are investing across almost around, you can say that, 6 million to 7 million, which is a great thing, which is at least a starting initiation from the government side to show that people do see this and there is definitely interest on this.
I'm sitting here with you. I've met you. We had a tea downstairs. I see this nice guy that's running a multi-billion dollar company. He's got this love affair with motorsports. You're trying to change the people's perception of it in a huge country. How do you sleep at night? Do you get much sleep?
I try to.
But you must be so busy. And I want to talk about those experiences where you've got this motor circuit, street, the night circuit race that's coming. The very first one, let me try to take you back to that experience. You've got every moving part that's happening. You've got to make sure all the cars are ready, the teams are ready, the mechanics are ready. Everybody's got their accommodation. I know that you're not having a hand in all of this, but these are all potential problems that you're going to be having. What was it like the couple of weeks before the race, and what was it like after?
Well, it's always been for me like sailing in two boats, because I got to concentrate on the main business where I earn the money. And then this is the love affair, as you have mentioned, where I got to spend the money. But the amount of stress and the amount of things you got to do a couple of weeks before the race is something that makes you so busy. Even you don't get time to think about yourselves sometimes. And you forget to take a leak. So this is how you have to process. But once the race is done, for a couple of months, you feel that you're so jobless because there's nothing much to do. And you just have to work on the calendar. And then you have to work on a couple of other things which have to come. I mean, like the ecosystem maintaining, which I told you, as I told you, then the karting championship and then going to colleges in each city, 6 to 7 cities, and then making a interview. So that is all set up, and all the teams are like already, they have an experience of this year. So they will go, eventually they'll go, they'll do what they have to do. But coming to the race weekend again, so for that, there's going to be a 7 to 8 months gap. So these 6-7 months, you feel a little jobless because you sail only in single boat where you earn the money, but you are lacking a little bit of on the spinning part.
Yeah.
But motorsport is one bomb that you spend everything in a week.
Oh, my word. I'm trying to get from you, and I'm seeing it in your eyes, and I hope it's coming through. But your love for this, but the love is kind of, some people could say it could go into craziness because of the money that we're talking. Let's talk about your expansion. So you've opened up a business, and one of the reasons you're here is that you've opened up a business in Qatar.
Yes.
And you're, tell us about that. What is that for?
So I have opened a company in Qatar, especially for the motorsports. So as I already mentioned, that I see the similar circumstances, or you can say that I can see the similar background both in India and in the Middle East for the motorsport. So I thought it would be better if we start a training academy in Qatar to start with for the motorsport, and then try and think about some league which can come up in Qatar as well, just like how I'm doing in India, because I have a handful experience. And you can say, I think I'm the only one as of now a private entity who's investing on 2 street circuits. I think so. I'm not sure, but most probably 90%, I would say that I think I'm the only one in the world who's spending, a private entity who's spending on 2 street circuits.
Unbelievable.
And so with that experience, with that exposure, as I know what could possibly go wrong when you're doing things like this, and how to get this into a positive note, and how to get people get attracted to this, because for most of the people, the motorsport knowledge is less in both regions, and they probably feel that, okay, one guy gets in the car, he drives, that's it, that's the race. But the fact is that racing is a team sport.
Yeah.
You need everybody's support in that. And it's not about some lazy guy getting in the car, it's the most fittest athlete getting in the car.
Yeah.
So I want to create that awareness to the people, and I want to show them like the intensity of the motorsport, how intense it is, and what kind of adrenaline rush you get when you watch it physically, I mean like standing at the track. So in order to create all this, the best platform is the street circuit. Because you take the sport to the doorstep and let the general audience see it. Because all the tracks, you find the permanent tracks out of the city somewhere, minimum of 20 miles or 30 miles. And people who are really interested into the motorsport, they would travel so far for the sport, but not for the general public.
Yeah.
But when you take the sport to the doorstep, at least out of the curiosity, people would come and watch it. And once they watch, once they experience the fun over there at the track, the adrenaline rush they get, they would definitely get addicted to the sport.
Do you know something? Normally I've got a control podcast where I know the nice smoothness I want to try, but there's things that are just coming into my mind. Just with the types of things, the safety, the security, the kind of, where did you get all this experience from? And I'm taking you in a big mess right now. We were talking about Qatar. I do apologize. But I find this all very fascinating to have. The one question that I want to, and we'll come back to Qatar right afterwards, is who was that one person that saw that dream and supported you and give you that kind of boost to say, you can do this?
I would say myself.
Really? But you went out there thinking, no, I'm going to do this.
Yes. Because I firmly believe there has always been success out of the madness. All that you got to do is believe in yourself.
Is that as simple as that?
It is, I guess. Because the main business which we do is a family business. So I got into the family business. They already do a lot of business. And then I have come up with a couple of ideas where I had to include the new verticals into it. So at that point of time, basically family was not really happy because they were like, we are doing good and whatever is going on, it's going on. So why don't you just cope up with that and concentrate on that rather than wasting your time on the new vertical? And they strongly felt that I'm chasing a wild goose and there's nothing gonna get back. But it took almost 4 or 5 years for me in that angle. It took almost 5 years. I had to fight a lot. I had to spend a lot of time. But end of the day, today, after 10 years, the verticals which I got, we have an order book of 3 billion.
Can I just ask you how much, and you can tell me that I'm not going to answer that, it's private. How much have you invested so far in this?
In the racing?
In all of it, yeah.
You can say around 50 to 55 million.
52 to 55 million. 52 to 55 million.
USD.
USD. Are you married?
Yes, of course.
What did your wife say?
I have two lovely daughters.
What did your wife say? Please, you can return the money that you've invested. You could have. All our children, our grandchildren, our great grandchildren. It can be. We can look after them for the rest of their lives.
So you can say that she's the one person who have always supported me, and still she supports me. But once in a while, when she get pissed, she says that you're going beyond the crazy. But yeah, maximum she supports. So I would say, like, for this madness of this motorsport evolution, the only one person who's been supportive since starting is her.
Well done. Well done. Well done, you. And how old are your daughters?
The elder one is 7 years. The younger one is 2 years.
The seven-year-old daughter, does she understand what's going on? Does she come to the races?
Yeah, she do come to the races. She do understand, but unfortunately, I don't think she's much interested in that. She is more interested into the gymnastics and the golf.
Oh, wow.
So
the golf, huh?
Yeah. But yeah, lucky.
You'll come back in a couple of years' time saying, oh, we've just built a golf club.
But lucky me, the younger one is already interested in the racing. So yeah, being a girl, she always buy the cars and the steerings and other things, but not the Barbie. So yeah.
Well done. That must be. It sounds perfect. Now it's starting to sound perfect because all of a sudden you've got that framework around you. And I think it's important. I think it is really important. Let's go back to Qatar. So you've come to Qatar, you've set the business up, and you're planning on bringing cars from Europe?
Yes,
and
I have already bought the cars, and I do have 28 cars, and they're going to stay here in Qatar from January, because right now the season is going on in India. So the cars are in India, but they're going to get back to Qatar, because I'm going to keep those cars in Qatar itself, because that's the reason I have actually planned of starting a training academy in Qatar, because I already have 28 cars in hand. And we can start immediately after making a proper procedural thing. And by getting into the market, we can actually start the training. But we just have to put a team. So what I was thinking is, like, get some really good professional driver to train the drivers. Maybe, if possible, some ex-Formula One driver or any ex-Le Mans drivers. So get some of them and make them train the best drivers who comes into the academy. At the same time, we are trying to get some engineers who have been worked previously with the Formula One teams. There are a couple of aerodynamic engineers, there are a couple of other mechanical engineers who have worked with the Formula One teams. So get them here and give the special classes and the training classes for the engineering students who wants to get into the motorsport engineering, and then get a couple of mechanics from MP Motorsports from Netherlands, and then train them on the mechanical thing. So I want to make this academy for all three categories, so that this will fulfill the whole ecosystem, but not just the drivers.
I think that Qatar's the most, it's got the Lusail circuit.
Yes.
It could be absolutely perfect for what you're planning
here. Yes, yes.
I wish you every success, and we're going to help you as much as possible. And if they're listening to the podcast, with any time for a meeting, He can come over at any time. Okay?
Yes. It's just 3.5 hours flight.
I'm sure you're going to get the meeting. Now, with saying all of this, what have you found? You've been in Qatar for the first time today. What's your first impression?
Nice place, peaceful place.
Yeah.
Good place to work. You can just concentrate on your work.
Yeah.
And you have plenty of peace over here. Because I've seen almost last night, I'm traveling around. So I have found the places quite good. I mean, like any point A to point B, anywhere, you can just travel in 40 minutes, which is the best part. And then you have quite peaceful life over here, not like really crowded or rush. So it's beautiful place to stay with.
It is a wonderful place. I think it's going to be fantastic for you, that's for sure. I'm going to ask you another question now. How did you gain all this experience? How did you what have you put together? What team have you got? Have you been involved in the Grand Prix and all those type of things? Who's your relationships that you've built with?
No, I feel doing my league itself is like doing a Grand Prix, almost like 30 or 40%.
Okay.
Because doing a street circuit, because all the things that I have bought, the track material which I bought for the street circuit in Hyderabad, which I did last year, it's all the grade one material, which is obviously used for Formula One, the grade one material. So the same thing which I'm using this year for the Chennai street circuit, the night race. Again, this is also the grade one FIA spec. So yeah, last year it was quite a tedious job for me because it was the first year and there were like a lot of things to learn, a lot of things to do. But I made sure that each and every activity that has been done on the ground, I personally used to be there and I used to do it because I have this habit of doing, if anything I'm doing for the first time, then I have a habit of standing on the ground and doing it by myself so that I learn and I know what are the negativities that's going to come, how to handle the issues, and then what is the positive points that's going to come and how to cope up with the local entities, the governing bodies and everything. So end of the day, I know what I'm doing. So that later on, when people actually are not able to do, I can guide them that. No, this is not the right way, you can do it right way. Because I always feel that the practical knowledge is always better than the theoretical knowledge.
Yeah. Now, but you're very smart because the people that you're also bringing around, you've obviously got kind of relationships with some of the biggest drivers and some people that have been instrumental in the motor industry, not the industry, but the sport. And they're part of your team too.
Yeah, luckily I have two of my team members who have been previous professional drivers. So they have been up to the Formula 2. So they are my team members. They are on the board with the RPPL. So they are the ones who actually take care of the drivers, maintaining their relation. So only that part is a little bit easier for me because I don't need to deal directly.
Okay.
Until and unless
I don't know how you do it already.
Really messed up.
I've got to be honest. I don't know how you do it already. I don't know how you keep these plates spinning. Unbelievable.
Because until and unless something is really messed up, I need to handle. But basically, the initial relationship, those two guys, they maintain and they are quite good in that. So because they themselves have been the professional drivers, so they know the driver's mentality. So I left it to them so that they can handle it better than me.
Yeah, very good. And it's like with it, you've got a race coming up very soon.
Yes, it's just a month away.
Getting the tingles already? Getting nervous?
Yes, yeah. A little bit. Because it's going to be a night race for the first time. So, yeah.
Night race for the first time. And how many, what do you think that, is it receiving some good kind of publicity already?
The major fear is it's receiving too much of publicity. So I really can't take chance on anything. So I have to be like 100% sure on the track. Everything goes well. So that's making me even more worse and nervous.
I think that also I want to talk to people about the opportunities that you've still got with your racing teams because you've got multiple racing teams and they're still looking for sponsors.
Yes.
And India's a huge population and a huge place. And if it's going this successful, there's great opportunity for sponsorship with these teams. What would people do to try to reach out in this instant?
No, I seriously don't know the answer for your question because let it be India or any other country in the whole world, Nobody really encourages you or approaches you until and unless you are successful. So as just a baby who took birth 1 year back this year at the league, so it's just the second year. But I strongly believe and I strongly feel that it's going to be a lot more better for next year, because we just did for 1 year. And the first year we did only two circuits. One was the street circuit and one was the permanent circuit. And the second year itself, we have come up with the second street circuit, which is a good thing. And then on top of it, the best part is we are getting the support from the local government and we are getting the support from the local authorities in the for the night race in the street. And there have been a couple of people who are approaching to buy the teams and all, which is good. But irrespective of keeping all this aside, these are coming in a slow form and in bits and pieces. But the real pace will start when this grows big. And I firmly believe that this year, after the night race, people will actually see the potential of the sport.
And the people that's purchasing these teams, they're quite high profile.
Yes. But as I already told you, everybody needs a proof that this is success. That's basic. I mean, like, nobody would be interested to invest on a startup, or nobody would be interested to invest out of doubt until and unless you are mad or crazy like me. So you need to see the success. So once they see the success, then definitely they will come up on the board and they would be definitely much more interested to be on board in a much more larger way. And I think that's not far away. It's just going to be another year or two. That's it.
It's going to be a massive industry, a massive sport.
Yes.
Without a shadow of a doubt, it's going to be huge. And with just the way that, and you are sports fanatics. So it's only a moment of time.
Yes, exactly.
This is going to be...
No, this is going to be good, because after the news of the Chennai circuit, I already got a call from the other state that the state government is going to help out and we need to do a race over there also in the streets. So, yeah.
Wow. What's the biggest, there must be some things, is there a moment that you look at it and say it was all worth it? Has there been one moment you've gone, I know I've done it right?
Yes, it was last year, 22 December 10th, when I did the last race of the season in the Hyderabad street circuit. The amount of efforts, the amount of stress I've took for 1 year, because that was the first time we are doing, and it was like the whole year was like quite nervous here, and it was all full tensed up because we are doing for the first time and people really don't know how it's going to go, and we didn't really want it to go in a negative way. But touch wood, everything went well. So December 10th was the like, okay.
That must have been a wonderful
yes.
feeling. And I suppose, and I'm seeing the type of character you are, just to see those kids in the street watching for the first time or being experienced to that motor racing and hearing the power of those cars, because the power and the energy is quite, for the young kids, it's going to be quite scary,
yes.
but it's going to leave an impactful memory for the rest of their lives. This must be a rewarding.
Yes, it is. To give you a best example for that, I mean, like, how many people can really go to Singapore and watch a night race, the Formula One GP?
Yeah.
But I'm creating that at their doorstep in India. Because the lack of awareness is what pushing the sport back. And the awareness comes up only when you give them the first-hand experience. And the first-hand experience comes only when they come and physically experience it. So that's what I'm trying to do. And when the kids see this, the impact they're going to get out of this would be tremendous. And lots of kids will get one goal. The kids who doesn't have a goal will get a goal, and the kids who already have a goal, the goal might change.
Unbelievable, right? It's just that I always say about making a difference. We all got the opportunity of making a difference, but the differences you're making are quite incredible. An entrepreneur, and I'm going to bring this into the entrepreneurial spirit you've got in the businesses that you run, and that's bringing the money, as you said, the money in to be able to pay for these crazy moments, is quite exceptional, because it kind of, sometimes we need people like you in this world that are going to kind of give those dreams and aspirations and give people to cheer about something else and be proud about something else. I'm very proud about the drivers that we've got that represent the UK. And you're trying to do this for not just India, but also the Middle East. And I take my hat off to you. It's a mammoth task. I can't believe it. I was expecting you to be a little bit kind of crazy, but you seem a really down-to-earth guy, and you're making these massive differences. It's going to change everything from a motorsports perspective in India. You're putting the legacy that you're now creating. It's just unbelievable. Do you realize the power that you're creating?
Yes, I do realize. So the personal intention of mine in doing all this is nothing but joining my name with the sport in the history.
Yeah.
I just want my name to be joined with the motorsport of India at the same time, if any other country it is possible, because you live in history. Lots of people come and go, but nobody remembers them. But getting remembered for your passion and for your love is something that really you can't pay, or you really can't value that.
Next 10 years time, what do you think you're going to be achieving?
10 years time, I'm sure that definitely I might be nearby or a major contender for the IPL. So that's what my target is. But keeping aside that, in 10 years' time, my major target is to put one Indian female driver in the Formula 2, competing against the guys, and at least one Indian driver, whoever it is, in the Formula 1. I want to see at least one Indian driver in the Formula 1 grid. That's my target.
And I hope that the whole nation gets behind you on this one. I really do.
I hope so.
Today has been a magnificent day for me. I didn't know what to expect. I knew that I was gonna meet somebody that's prolific from an entrepreneurial side of things, that's running some huge successful businesses. But then I thought that I wanted to see how crazy you were.
In what? I still didn't tell you the craziest part.
Please.
So I have made a detailed project report for the Middle East. I have already given the name for that, Formula M. So I really can't reveal all the details about the Formula M, but the detail, the report. I mean, like, I personally feel that if we get the support from the Qatar, either let it be a personal or a governing body or anybody, and if we get the support and if we will be able to do that, execute the whole detailed project which I have, it's just that we need the right partner for it in Qatar, because it's just not, I mean, like, it's something that it's going to be a league which would represent the whole region, the whole Middle East, not just one country. So the Formula M, the governing body, would lie here in Qatar, and then we can create a league for the whole region. And I'm 100% sure that the moment we float this will be a big thing.
I'm speechless for the first time for a long, 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 long time, talking to people like yourself. With you, I'm speechless, because I've listened to your story, and sometimes I think to myself, I may have lied down a lot sooner and said, you know what, I can live my life, I can go do whatever I want right now. But you're not doing that. You're going out to strive into the unknown, in most cases,
yeah,
to make a difference for others. You've been a fantastic guest on the show today.
Thank you. Thank
I've been privileged to be able to get your time. I know that your time, I see your phone going crazy. I'm so privileged to be able to have spoken to you today, and I do wish you every success in the future, because you deserve it.
Thank you. Thank
you deserve it, because what you're doing is you're putting up and you're not shutting up. You kind of go out there and show the world what you can do. You're a fantastic guy. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening today, because I hope you got so much from this. Okay, just because it doesn't matter. If you're going to make a difference, go and do it. Don't listen to anybody else. Don't kind of believe what they say to you. If you strongly believe it, you don't need to back you and support you. You need to believe in yourself and do whatever you can do. And with those dreams and aspirations, you just never know what's going to happen. Okay, it's not there for just one person, it's there for everybody. All you've got to do is just work your socks off. Okay, thank you very much for listening this time. And thank you so much,
thank you,
Akhil.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
Steve.
Thank you so much for this one. Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.